good to us. Hallelujah. God is so, so good to us. Amen. I just like to, the song that I sang said that God is so good. And many a times we think about all the things that God has done for us. And because of those things, we say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. But God has been saying a particular word to us in Amazing Grace for about 4 or 5 months now, and he's repeating exactly the same thing. And I'm just thankful that he's not left us to our own devices. Praise the Lord. God is speaking to someone, and God is saying the same message in different ways to try to get somebody's attention. And if you're that person, listen to him and hear what he has to say. Praise the Lord. Last week, we were looking at how to move from being self-centeredness into being spirit-centered. Amen. Amen. How many of us did anything different? How many of us, went home and looked at areas in our lives that we feel that we've been self-centered? How many of us did anything with it? I'm not going to tell us to raise our hands, but if you've not done anything with it, then again, God is speaking. God is saying to someone exactly the same message we've heard time and time again. At vigil, we're looking at the Pharisee in me, and ever since that, I've been looking at areas in my life that I can improve on. But one thing that I realized last week is that when we talked about moving from a self-centered life to a spirit-centered life, we looked at how do I know that I am self-centered? How do I know I'm self-centered? And we looked at so many ways. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at how we can be spirit-centered. Amen. How we can be spirit-centered. Last week, I don't know if you look at your notes, we talked about how if you're only praying for yourself, it's a sign of being self-centered. The only person you pray for is you and your family, your immediate family, and that's it. That's a sign of being self-centered. But today, we'll look at how to be more spirit-centered. Amen. Can we open our Bibles to the book of Psalm 37? If you're there, say, praise the Lord. Psalm 37, we're going to read from verse 1, and then we're going to read all the way to verse 7. It says that, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Amen. Praise the Lord. We live in a day and age where we need to be careful about the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we see, the things that we consume. During the week, I heard something on the radio, and they were talking about makeup. They were talking about, makeup. How many of us are wearing makeup this morning? They were talking about makeup on the radio, and it was a debate. Should we use makeup? Should we not? No, this is on a public radio, so it wasn't a Christian, so don't judge and all of those things, right? So they were talking about makeup, and this lady came on and she said, you know what? Honestly, I've been saved from makeup. I don't wear makeup anymore, and that a lot of people say they don't have time to go to the gym. They don't have time to look healthy. But she said that they have 20 minutes in the morning for makeup. She said, don't get her wrong. She used to be like that, but she stopped that. She doesn't feel the need to wear makeup. And then some people rang as well. They said that, you know what? That it's not about that makeup just makes them feel comfortable. Not really, it's not about that makeup doesn't really empower them, because some people think the reason why you wear makeup is so that it empowers you and things like that. She was like, this other person rang and said that, you know what, I just cannot do without my makeup. When I go to the gym, before leaving the gym, I wear my makeup. The only time they don't wear the makeup is when they go to bed. Me personally, honestly, I don't have sisters, and I don't have a lot of, not until recently, because when I actually never knew there was something called makeup until about maybe I'll probably say maybe about 16, 17. That's when I began to know what makeup really was. My children, girls, now they, the other sister came to the house yesterday, and Monri was like, no, don't kiss me. I don't want makeup on my face. So she knows what makeup is, and she's only three. She knows, but I didn't know what makeup was and all of that. But after all the conversation, they called the BBC makeup, what's her name? I'll say guru, probably. You know, the person that does all the makeup for the BBC people. And then she was like, you know what? Whatever makes you happy. She was in a position whereby her job was to sell makeup, to do makeup. Obviously, if the argument was that we don't need makeup anymore, then she's out of a job, yeah? But, and at the same time, she did not want to impose on other people that don't use makeup. So she said to them, whatever makes you happy. And that's where we're going this morning. Whatever makes you happy. We live in a world right now that it's all about whatever makes you happy. And is that right? Consciously or unconsciously, that's where we live in right now. Whatever makes me happy. They give us things to do, tell us what to do, but we just brush it aside and do what? Whatever makes us happy. I mean, I just cannot wait. I can't wait to get home to sleep. And I was forced to come to church this morning because my mom told me to come to church, or my dad asked me, or if I don't come to church, they will. My mom will ask me, did I go to church? Or my dad will say the same thing. If it was left to us, we'll do whatever made us happy. And that's exactly where we are in the world right now. We're in a day and age where people do whatever makes them happy. So my question is this. If everyone decided to do whatever made them happy, what kind of world do you think we're going to live in? If everyone did whatever made them happy, what type of world would we live in? Any guesses? It's not just me talking, so we can chip in, yeah? So what kind of world would we live in? A self-centered world. Okay, a self-centered world. Any other person? A disorganized world, okay? God bless you. I was looking for that. That was okay. Honestly, it would be chaos. If everyone did whatever made them happy, we would live in a chaotic world. And what is that saying to us? That it's not all about whatever makes me happy, praise the Lord. When we think we should do whatever makes us happy, the end result of that kind of attitude is what? A disorganized world, is a chaotic world. Whatever makes me happy, you know what? Okay, let's stop. Let's stop preaching now. Let's just go out and sing. Let's go out and, you know, whatever, because that's what I'm feeling like doing right now. So number one lesson is this. If we live a life where we did whatever made us happy, the end result will be a chaotic world. Amen. So that tells us that we should not live a life that is all about making me happy. Amen. There has to be sacrifices. Praise the Lord. There has to be sacrifices. Everything I'm doing is all about what is making me happy. You know, it's all about me. No. We cannot live in a society where it's all about whatever made me happy. Amen. So how can I live a spirit-centered life? It's only a spirit-centered life that would make us to live in a world where things are normal, things are okay. Praise the Lord. And the psalm that we read gave us four key things that we need to do to ensure that we live a spirit-centered life. Four things that we need to do. Four key things that we need to do. If we go back to verse 1. Four key things that we need to do. Okay, it says that do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the work of the workers of iniquity. Verse 3. It says, the first thing is what? Trust in the Lord and do good. Tell your neighbor, trust in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, trust in the Lord. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know how I'm going to survive. What do you do? Trust in the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Don't depend on how you're feeling. Depend on what God is saying. Trust in Him. God is saying, you know what? God is not mute. He speaks. Amen. You know, when Pastor forced me to take message this morning, I used the word forced me because I begged and begged. I was like, what should I talk about? What should I talk about? But eventually, at the back of my mind, the Spirit just kept saying that God is not mute. God talks. So it's all about trying to hear what God has to say. God is saying something. And at every time God is speaking, trust in God. What is God saying to you? What is God saying concerning that situation? What is God saying concerning that circumstance? Trust in Him. When was the last time you trusted in God? Amen. Despite the fact that it did not make sense, when was the last time you trusted in God? When God said, do this, immediately you just what? We shrug it off. We're like, no. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Praise the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. When we're looking at the Pharisee in me, one of the characteristics of the Pharisees were people that looked back. They reflected. Pharisees reflected. And one of the things they do is they would reflect and say that, you know what? We're not like the people of old that killed the prophets. We're not like the people of old that, I don't know how many of us, sometimes I think like that as well. I'm like, you know, when we hear the story of Israelites, you're like, seriously, these people are just stubborn. God leading the Israelites through the wilderness, and you're like, how come they don't hear? God sent manna, God delivered them, but still, they wanted to do things their own. They wanted to do things their own way. I did it my way, praise the Lord. So the Pharisees would say that, thank God I'm not like that. But in reality, when we look at ourselves, the Bible was telling us that that's how the Pharisees are. When you really look in the mirror, you'd see that, hang on, I've been doing things my own way. I've been doing things exactly the same way it has been. Am I trusting in God? Praise the Lord. Like I said earlier, you know, God is so good. God is so good to me. Why is God bringing this message again? Exactly the same thing. Why is He saying this? Is it for somebody to adjust? God is saying to somebody, adjust, adjust. You know, when He was talking to the church in Revelation, He said that which remains, the little thing that remains, keep it. Because of what? As soon as that goes, that's it. So God is saying to somebody today, I'm talking to you, son. I'm talking to you, daughter. You've lived where you have for so long. It's time to move up. Amen. God is saying it's time to move up. So one of the first things that we do when we want to be spirit-centered is we want to trust in God. We're not depending on our own self. We're not depending on our own knowledge. How I know to do it is no longer how God wants you to do it. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's. What does it say again about it? It says in verse 4. Okay, verse 5. Verse 6. Oh, Psalm. That was Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Okay, we're in verse. I think we stopped at verse 3. Go to verse 4, please. Yes. What's the next thing that we need to do? We need to delight ourselves also in the Lord. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. What does it mean to delight yourself in something? Take joy in doing something. What does it mean to delight yourself? Delight yourself. What does it mean to do? To delight yourself mean, okay, actually, let's forget about delight yourself in the Lord. What do you delight in? What do you delight in? Maybe that will bring it more home. What do you delight in? Sleeping? Okay. Okay, fair enough. Some people delight in sleeping. Fair point. Huh? You delight in good food. Okay, good food. Fantastic. And somebody else, what do you delight in? Prayer. Did somebody say prayer? Good. 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 You delight in prayer. Amen. Amen. Second thing is we should delight ourselves in the Lord. Now, please think of yourself and think of the things that you do. What are the things I delight myself in? How many of it reflects God? How many of the things I delight in, how many of it reflects God? Just think about it. Think about it for a second or two. How many of it reflects God? The only time I really delight in God is when I come to church, the 2 hours, and that's it. And if for any reason I attend any of the midweek services, I won't show up in church the next Sunday. Or if I attend all 3 services, that's it. You're not seeing me for a month. You're laughing, but it's reality. How do I delight myself in the things of God? If I'm to be God-centered, a lot of us, we want to be God-centered. Yes, we want to think about, we want to be spirit-centered. But if we're to be like that, we need to ensure that the things around us are things that enables us to delight in God. Amen. You know, I was thinking about it recently that, and rightly so, don't get me wrong, I totally agree with it. We talk a lot about, I actually don't like talking about the topic. We talk a lot about homosexuality and things like that. And rightly so, we should do that. But in my head, I'm thinking only if we just went back to preach no sex before marriage. You know, it's not, God forbid. But it almost seems like it's not a big deal in church right now. It almost seems like it's not a big deal. But the things that we're focusing on is gay, lesbianism, no-go area. Even the very first foundation, if the very first foundation was right in the first place, seriously, we won't get there. And I pray again, God forbid, but we will not get to a stage where people will be allowed to have sex with animals and things like that. We won't get there in Jesus' name. I mean in the UK. We will, okay, let's pray for the whole world. They said it's happening already. No, but it is sad. It is sad. But only if we, you know when the Bible tells us that we should study the word, meditate on it day and night, it's for a reason. It's for our own good. The moment we step out of God, the moment we step out of Christ, the moment we step out of grace, anything is allowed. Anything is allowed. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. Okay? So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vat will overflow with new wine. As soon as we hear that, we're thinking to ourselves, offering, we're thinking to ourselves, tithe. But in reality, there's so many things that we have in our possessions that we're meant to honor God with, that we're meant to delight in, but we don't do that. Your time, how much of your time do you actually give to God? How much of your time do you delight in God? I'm up for the person that said that they pray. And I was also saying, dear, that in the prayer, we had a prayer conference on Thursday. Monroe was saying, the children pray, and we told Monroe to pray, and she prayed for. She said, "Father, thank you for our neighbors." And honestly, I do thank God for our neighbors, but I just don't think of those people. Sometimes I just think, oh, the people that disturb, But she said, "Father, thank you for our neighbors." Maybe she only just knew the word, and you know. But she said, "Thank God for my neighbors." And I was thinking that, wow, I actually don't remember to thank God for the good things around us. For some people, they have a drug addict next door. They're always making, But thanking God for our neighbors, what am I trying to say? Everything about us, is there God in it? Are we seeing God in the things that we do? Am I seeing God in the things I do? Trust in, it said that, so if you go back to the first verse, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions. It's not just about your money. It's about your intellect. Everything about you, honor God with. Amen. Am I honoring God enough? Or does my honor for God stop after the service? I'm not saying that. You know, part of delighting yourself in God is running away from evil. Part of delighting yourself in God is running away from evil. Praise the Lord. So it's not just about barriers, putting things. It's not just about prevention tactics, but also when you see something that seems bad, what do? You move away from it. I remember, I think it was last year, Pastor Fumi was preaching, and she said that for many Christians, it's all about how far can I bend the yardstick? How far can I bend it? In other words, how much of an unbeliever can I be and at the same time remain a Christian? How much of an unbeliever can I be but at the same time remain a Christian? And for many of us, it's like that. We're thinking to ourselves, okay, we ask questions to try to justify the things that we're doing. Also, one of the things that we learned was that whatever you're trying to justify is wrong. For you, whatever you're trying to justify is wrong. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You've been battling with something for a long time. You've been thinking about it. You've been giving reasons why it's okay. The reasons that you've given is more than the reasons that you fail to see. But when you begin to try to justify whatever it is wrong. Amen. It is wrong. Delight yourself in the Lord. Let everything about you be about God. Don't forget where we started from. If I did what pleased me, if I did what I wanted to do, we're going to live in a chaotic world. But if you're fine with us living in a chaotic world, then by all means. But if we're to get to a stage where we want to live in a orderly society, we want to live in a godly society, then it has to start with me. I need to delight in God. Amen. So think about what are the things that I can do to push away those things that are distracting me from God. Another message that we heard said that the reason why a lot of us are not hungry and thirsty for God is because we're feeding on the wrong materials. We're feeding on the wrong things. You're not hungry for God. How do I delight myself in God? You have no idea. You have no clue. You're feeding on the wrong things. How many of us had breakfast this morning? When you have breakfast, when you eat, at some point you don't want any more, right? And that's it. If you're not thirsty for God, it's because you're feeding on the wrong thing. Praise the Lord. Feed on the right things. Amen. The next thing he says that we should do after delighting ourselves in God is what? If we go back to Psalm 37, we didn't get to verse 9, verse 5. It says that we should commit our ways to the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. That is, leave everything to God. Commit everything. For us to get to a stage where we know that it's not It's not because I have this or I have that. Commit everything to God. I don't know about you, but I was going to say something, but my mom is here, so I probably will not say it. Oh, Precious is not here. You know, sometimes, right? Okay, I'll just say it, because I don't know how many people are like that. Sometimes I think to myself that if I was not in this world, how will they survive? How will they get on? But honestly, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. You know why I'm not worried about it? Because it's God that gives, right? It was God that gave them in the first place. And him that gave will do what? Will look after them. Praise the Lord. Commit everything to God's hand. Everything you're doing, commit it to God's hand. We read about the story of Daniel. And his friends. We see all of these things that we're talking about. We see it in the story of Daniel and his friends. They trusted in God. They delighted in God. They committed everything to God. How did they trust in God? How did they delight in God? You know, when the king's portions were brought, what did they say? They said that, no, we're not going to partake of the king's meal. Was there anything wrong in partaking of the king's meal? No, there was nothing wrong with it. For me, I think there's something wrong with it. But you can argue both ways, praise the Lord. You can argue both ways. For Daniel, for him, it was something not to go. It was for Daniel, it was a no-go area, praise the Lord. Daniel decided that this is what I want to delight myself in, praise God. We see that in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Now, a man once asked his mom this question. He said to his mom, Mom, what do you consider sin to be? What do you consider sin? S-I-N. What is sin? So if I was to ask the same question, what do you consider sin? I'll probably say that. Sin is when you do anything that you do that is not in line with God's will. Anything that you do that is not in line with God's will. That's how I will define sin. But if we're to really break it down, anything that is outside. So then what is God's will? Okay. So what is God's will? God's will can be. God's will for you might be different from what God's will for me is. Praise the Lord. Now, this was the answer the mother gave. She said, whatever impairs the tenderness of your conscience, whatever obscures your sense of God, or takes away your appreciation for spiritual things, in short, whatever increases the strength and authority of your body over your mind, that thing is sin, however innocent it may be in itself. So he says, whatever weakens your reasoning, whatever impairs the tenderness of your conscience, whatever obstructs your sense of God, whatever makes you to less appreciate spiritual things, he said that thing is sin. So I thought to myself, if we were to really apply that, I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, let us just consider that phrase. I'm not saying we should apply it to our lives. Actually, that's what I'm saying. Apply it to your life, but that might be difficult, yeah? But let's just consider the statement, okay? So whatever thing weakens our reasoning, it is sin. Wow. Deep. Whatever weakens my ability to be able to differentiate between right and wrong, that thing is sin. So There's some things that we're doing consciously or unconsciously that is affecting our reasoning. You know, if we go back to the story of Daniel and his friends, these guys were brought. They were brought to, I think, is it Babylon? They were brought to Babylon. And what they were trying to do was they were trying to re-educate them. They were trying to change their reasoning, how they thought about things. They were trying to change the way they live. But what did Daniel do? For Daniel, it was a no-go area. Daniel thought, you know what? No. A lot of us, we propose in our hearts. But when it comes to bringing straight prevention tactics, we're not serious about it. I've proposed in my heart, I will not sin. And that's where we leave it. We only just propose in our hearts. But when it comes to, you know, putting barriers in place, putting structures in place to ensure that we actually don't sin, we don't take those things seriously. We just propose and we've proposed. And we said the reason why Daniel was excellent was because he proposed in his heart. That's not the only reason why Daniel was excellent. Daniel decided to put things in place. So the lady said to her son, anything that does any of this to you is sin. Is it possible to apply that to our lives? What is it that is weakening our reasoning? What is it that impairs the tenderness of our conscience before it was bad? But now, okay, it depends on where you're coming from. Whatever obscures our sense of God, any of those things is sin. Amen. And some of us, we only think that when we sin is actually when we commit the sin. That's when we sin. But anything that does any of these things, it's sin. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Daniel put things in place. Daniel trained his appetite. Friends, you can train your appetite. Amen. You know, people say that if you want to be, if you want to get an habit for something, all you need to do is just do it for 4 weeks. Just do it for 4 weeks. And before you know it, it'll become part of you. So what are we saying this morning or this afternoon? What are the things I need to do? What are the things I need to do to put barriers in place? What are the things that I have in my hands that I need to commit to God's hand? I need to say, Father, this is it. Just let it be all about God. Amen. Committing things into the hands of God tells us that we acknowledge our own limitations and we're relying totally in God. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful. In my heart, I'm thinking this is the right thing right now. I'm thinking this is probably the right way. This is how I should go. But the heart is deceitful. That same heart that was telling you to do it like this last week is telling you something else completely. I heard somebody once say that, you know, if you were driving a car and you stop the car and it seems like you're moving, what do you do? What do you do? Handbrake, straight up. You draw the handbrake or you push the handbrake down if you're using automatic and all of that. You push the handbrake or you bring it up. But what if it still seemed like you were still moving? What will happen? You look around. Am I the one moving or is it the things around me? Is it the car next to me moving? And then, you realize that I'm still moving. What do you do? You look at something that is stationary, and you go back to that thing and think, is it me that is still moving? If you see that the thing is stationary, what does that tell you? You're the one that is still moving, okay? But what about when we get to a position where the thing that is so-called stationary, the tree on the road that is meant to be stationary, also begins to move. Sorry? You start praying. What is the point I'm trying to say? Our heart tells us different things sometimes. But for us to really, really, really be God-centered, we need to. The tree that starts to move, you're going to that tree as a point of reference, but that tree is moving. Then how do I really know if I'm the one moving? How do I know? How do I judge? And that's how God's word is. God's word is that tree that does not move. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. Whatever generation we find ourselves, it's still the same. That's why we have to go back to that point of reference. That's why we have to ensure that everything I'm doing is according to God's standard. Amen. And finally, for us to be God-centered, we need to rest in Him. If we go back to Psalm 37, we need to rest in Him. We need to rest in Him. Verse 7. We need to rest in the Lord. We need to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. What does it mean to rest in the Lord? What does it mean to rest in the Lord? Again, feedback. Feedback's welcomed. What does it mean to rest in God? The way I look at when we rest in God is, no matter the outcome, right? No matter what happens, this is who I am. This is where I'm staying. Amen. No matter what happens, this is where I'm staying. You remember, if we go back to the story of the Daniel and his friends, he said that they trusted in God to save them. And he said that if God does not even save us, we're not going to bow to the king. They had the firm assurance that whatever happens, my position is fixed. We need to rest in God. And can we ask ourselves that question? Whatever comes our way, can we say that our position is fixed in Christ? Amen. Don't forget that we're moving from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. That's where we're moving from. And for us to live in a world where there is orderliness, sometimes some things will happen to us and we just have to take it on the chin. Praise God. We just have to take it on the chin and say, whatever happens, my position is fixed. We need to rest in God. And He's telling us that we need to rest in Him, because the reality of the matter is that things will happen. Things will come our way. They won't be pleasant things. They won't be nice things. But irrespective of what is happening, am I choosing to rest in God? Have I got this assurance that no matter what happens, like Job, how many of us could have lived the life Job lived? He said that whatever happens, this I know for sure, that what? He said, my Redeemer lives. God lives. Amen. Whatever happens, I know that He lives. And I'm going to stay connected to Him. Praise the Lord. I pray that God will help us that whatever comes our way, be it good, be it bad, whatever comes our way, that we'll stay in Him in Jesus' name. I'd like us to just bow our heads in prayer. The first prayer point that we're going to pray this morning is, Father, I know You've been speaking for some time now, and for some reason I've been going back to my old way. Father, I pray today that today will be the beginning of change in the name of Jesus. Father, help me to trust more in You. Help me to commit my ways to You. Father, help me to delight in You. Those things that You said I should get rid of, Father, please help me to get rid of them in Jesus' name. Please pray for yourself this afternoon. The Holy Spirit has identified some things in your life that you need to let go of. Just pray for the grace to let go of those things. And pray that, Father, help me to delight myself in You. Help me to delight in You. The psalmist said that I was excited, I was delighted when they said we should go to the house of prayer. Friends, let me tell you, you can get to that stage where everything you just want to do is bask in His glory. The only time we bask in God's glory is not only when we listen to the word. In your car, you can bask in His glory. In your closet, you can bask in His glory. You can delight yourself in Him. Pray for yourself this afternoon and say, Father, help me, oh God, to get rid of all those things that are taking away my attention, all those distractions, to get rid of them, that I would delight only in You in Jesus' name. And I'd like us to pray for the grace. Let's pray for that grace. The grace to rest in God, that whatever comes our way, that we will rest in Him. We will stay in Him in Jesus' name. We need this. We need to be God-centered, because we live in a day and age where everything is being moving to a stage where ungodliness is what's characterizing the world right now. Pray for yourself that, Father, help me to remain God-centered in the name of Jesus. Help me to remain in You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our Lord and our God, we want to say thank You. Father, we pray that more than that, more than we have heard, we pray that You teach us Yourself in Jesus' name. We pray for the grace, for the enablement to move from mediocrity. That as You've called us to be light and salt of this world, that we will not lose our flavor in Jesus' name. Father, help us, O God, to be more Christ-like in the name of Jesus. The hallmark of Your blessing in a man's life is for him to be more Christ-like. Father, this we pray for ourselves. Help us to be more like You in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that as we go into the week, that You be with us in Jesus' name. We pray, oh God, that Your hand will continue to be upon us in Jesus' name. We pray, oh God, that You would please help us to live according to Your will for our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for all those that are in Leicester for the first time. We pray for all the new students. Father, we pray that these ones will not miss it in the name of Jesus. We pray for them that You would help them to find godly people that would uphold them in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, oh God, that at the end of it all, they would have full cause to glorify Your name. Because not only will they excel in their studies, we pray, oh God, that in the work of their hands, they will excel as well in the name of Jesus. Father, are there anyone in our midst that have worries? You said that we should come to You. Father, we pray, oh God, that You lift up these burdens in Jesus' name. And that we pray that this week, oh God, as we go, You will come true for us in Jesus' name. Thank You, mighty Father in heaven, for answer to prayer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.